The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
This is FMR.
Can you believe there are only 50 days left this year? It's just flown by. This is Cape Diary on Fine Music Radio, and I am your host, Andre Skiepers, here to guide you through the pulse of our vibrant city. In the little time we have left, it already feels like summer is upon us, so grab a tall glass of iced tea, sit back and get ready to dive into the best of our local, cultural and musical happenings. Whether you're looking to catch a live gig, explore a hidden art exhibition, or get involved in community events, this show's got you covered, so keep those notepads close. There's plenty coming up that you don't want to miss. Cape Diary will be available as a podcast later today. Visit the FMR website at fmr.co.za/podcasts to have another listen at any of today's interviews. Let's do a quick overview of what will be discussed today. First up, a choral pilgrimage with Vox on St. Cecilia's Day, and that will be the 22nd of November, St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church at Deviterkant, and we will be chatting to our very own John Woodland. Then, Indigenous Orchestra featuring Dave Reynolds and Skulk Berger will take place on the 16th of November at 6:30 p.m. at the Alma Cafe, and we'll chat to Dave about that. Then we will chat to Alice Mfundisi about the art gallery opening hosted by Anami Art Gallery in collaboration with the Swellendam Music Society, and that will take place on the 15th of November at the Old Jail Complex at the Drostie Museum in Swellendam. Then lastly, we chatted to Dr. Alistair Meredith about the Strauss & Co. November flagship sales, where you can get a fantastic William Kentridge if you are willing to spend lots of money. So, let's get the show started. Ek is Andre Skeepers en u luister na Kaapse Dagboek op FMR. Maar voor ons begin, eerste 'n tikseltjie musiek. It's that magical time of year again, when voices rise, footsteps echo through the city streets, and Cape Town itself becomes a concert hall. On the 22nd of November, St. Cecilia's Day, the patron saint of music, shares her day with none other than Benjamin Britten. To mark this extraordinary double celebration, the acclaimed vocal ensemble Vox Cape Town invites you to do something truly special, a choral pilgrimage through some of the city's most resonant and beautiful spaces. Joining us today to share more about this remarkable experience is the artistic director of Vox, John Woodland. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Andre. Gosh, I don't think I've ever been introduced with such enthusiasm on this station before. And you painted such a beautiful picture there, highlighting all the aspects of this choral pilgrimage on St. Cecilia Day.
Let's dive deeper and see a little bit more. Let's start with the big picture. For listeners who might not know, what exactly is a choral pilgrimage? Elucidate us.
Great question, and I think what we're doing here is a first-of-its-kind event in Cape Town. So often choirs will sing in a particular space, and that space really shapes the choral sound, whether it's a small, intimate space or a larger, more resonant space. One is then going to express and, from an audience point of view, experience the music very differently. And so typically in a concert setting, one will be in a static kind of design in one space. But what if we were to take, in this particular case, the same piece of music to many different spaces and hear how the music transforms in each different space? So that's the idea behind this pilgrimage. It's not a concert in the traditional sense, but we are going to move between four different spaces and sing the same piece of music in each space, and then hear how the music transforms, both from a singer's and an audience point of view, in those four different spaces.
Okay, now you've got me. All right, so it's like a walking tour, and then you're going to hear the different reverbs and echoes and,
exactly,
and the size of the room. So what? Where are we walking to? What are the spaces?
Well, we called it a choral pilgrimage because it happens on this very special day that you mentioned, St. Cecilia's Day. So she was the patron saint of music and musicians. And that day is the 22nd of November, which, as you also mentioned, is the birthday of this very important 20th century British composer, especially in the context of choral music, Benjamin Britten. Now, he knew he was born on St. Cecilia Day. He was always looking for a way to write a special piece of music to mark this in some way. So He had a good friend, W.H. Auden, famous poet, and during the Second World War, he was a conscientious objector, Briton. He spent some time in the United States, and Auden, much ink has been spilled, perhaps trying to seduce Britain, wrote this poem for Britain, this hymn to Saint Cecilia, and then on the ship back from the USA to the UK, Britain wrote this piece based on Auden's poem, the Hymn to Saint Cecilia. It's a big piece. It's about 12 minutes for a cappella chorus. It involves soloists. It's extremely varied, all about music and the magic of music and Saint Cecilia and the capacity of music to delight, enchant, transform. So that piece of music is itself quite a journey. So that's why we decided to kind of call it in a way a choral pilgrimage. But we're going to start off at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Devatakunt, which is kind of like our musical home in some ways. And recently they've just uncovered, they were redoing the carpets there and uncovered this wonderful slate flooring underneath. So there's this wonderful sparkle to the acoustic. So we're singing there for the first time since this new kind of slate flooring has been uncovered. We'll start there. Then we're going to move past St. George's Cathedral. We're not going to stop and sing in the cathedral, but it's an important space for us. We're singing some Christmas concerts there with the Cape Philharmonic Orchestra very soon. So we're going to pass the cathedral, then we're going to walk up Government Avenue through the company's garden, and then our second stop is Hiddink Campus, University of Cape Town, where the Michaelis School of Fine Art is. And we're going to sing in two very different spaces there. So those are kind of linked deliberately to kind of contrast acoustics and spaces. The one is the old Anatomy Lecture Theatre. So it's a very kind of steeply raked lecture theatre. We'll have the choir down at the bottom and the audience for a change kind of above the singers. So as our voices rise in kind of an amphitheatre of sound, we'll really, guests will be able to kind of really peer over at the
I haven't even heard it and I'm getting
singing.
Goosebumps already.
Excellent. Good. I have almost as good as your way with words at the beginning of this interview. Then we move over from the Anatomy Lecture Theatre into Hiddink Hall, which is this beautiful wood-panelled historic hall, a much more generous resonant acoustic, and we want the singers to surround the guests. So you've now heard the music coming to you from the front, from below, from around, and then we're going to move to the Youngblood Gallery in Bree Street for the final stop at 1 o'clock that afternoon, where we will be singing from above. And that's a very important space for us. It was where our very first concert happened in 2016. Vox is turning 10 this year, so it kind of brings the whole thing full circle. So that's it in a nutshell. Folks are welcome to join at any point in the pilgrimage. First prize is to join us at St. Andrew's at 10 a.m. Come early, grab a cup of coffee with us, and bring your walking shoes, and then actually walk with us over the next 3.5 hours as we move through these three different venues, four different singing spaces.
Do you have to be super fit, or can any age come and
it is designed to be, it will be a leisurely walk through the city centre. Fortunately, it's mostly flat, so we anticipate anyone should be able to manage it. But if you prefer, you can drive from venue to venue or only come for one of those stops, if that would suit you better.
So how do we come to this amazing concert? Where do we sign up?
Yes.
What are the ticket prices?
Right. So this event, to keep it as open and inclusive as possible, is, and because it's something different, it's an experiment and we like to do things differently in Vox, it is free. So we do encourage folks, if they feel moved, to perhaps make a donation, you know, whatever they can. But yes, all the details are on Quicket. There are only a handful. I think it is only something like 15 or 20 spots left. VoxCapeTown.com, if you just search for Choral Pilgrimage, Cape Town, St. Cecilia, it will come up. But it's good for us to know who's going to be there so we can plan appropriately.
Also, where can we find you guys on the socials?
Vox Cape Town.
That's it. That's on Instagram it. And on Facebook.
Exactly. That's the handle. Or just Google. It'll come up. And then please, we've got Christmas concerts in December and more on that coming up very soon. The 5th and the 7th with Here Be Dragons,
like you
an
said
early
earlier,
folk ensemble.
One of the churches you're walking past.
And then the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra and Cape Town Opera, exactly, in St. George's Cathedral for three concerts. That's the 10th, 11th, 12th of December. So the culmination of our 10th birthday celebrations, but an exciting time of year. As you said earlier, with voices, I guess we all want to kind of relax and celebrate at this time of year. So we hope this choral pilgrimage will kind of be, in a way, the beginning of the end of the year festivities.
The beginning of the end of the year. I like that. Finally, John, for anyone listening who's never been to a Vox performance, why should they join this pilgrimage on the 22nd? What might they feel, hear, or discover along the way?
Oh, that's a great question. We were chatting a bit earlier about how almost we shouldn't be talking about the music. We should just let the music sort of sing for itself. Vox, we always try to do things a little bit differently, especially in a space where you really try to kind of theme, dress up the venue to create a holistic experience. So the music, what is being communicated through the words of the music, kind of resonates with the lighting, with perhaps drinks that are being served. This is kind of the opposite approach now, where, as I mentioned a bit earlier, we're taking one piece of music to many different spaces. So really just encourage guests to come with open ears in a playful way to enjoy this music and how it's going to transform and change from space, which is why we think if you can come for the full pilgrimage starting 10 o'clock on the 22nd of November, then you can really kind of get the full
experience.
The full experience.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for coming through. That is John Woodland.
Hey, thanks, Andre. Thanks, Mzu.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Welcome back to Cape Diary. Now, something amazing will be happening on Sunday, the 16th of November, at the iconic Alma Cafe. Some might call it Cape Town's favourite listening room. It's about to host a one-night-only performance called Indigenous Orchestra, bringing together three phenomenal musicians, Dave Reynolds, Skull Cubad, and Bogani Shotsononda. Is that correct? Now, if you've ever seen these names on a bill, you'll know we're talking serious musical pedigree. Dave's mastery of the steel pan, harp guitar, and Paraguayan harp has taken him around the world. Together, they've cooked up something new they call New World Folk, a fresh fusion of African roots, island rhythms, and global folk traditions. And joining us in studio today is multi-instrumentalist and composer Dave Reynolds. Welcome!
How's it, man? How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. So, tell me a little bit, the name, Indigenous Orchestra.
Well, you know, we were just trying to think of something that tells the story of the music that we make. It's kind of very acoustic folk music, and but we got an opportunity to perform it here at Artscape a couple of years ago, and Bongani came up with the idea Indigenous Orchestra as something that's, you know, brings in a little flavors of folk cultures around the world, South African, African, but also, you know, I don't know what else, Mexican or something else, all the different types of cultures that have driven folk and acoustic music and have inspired us.
So you've played with so many legends over the years, Pops Muhammad, Hugh Masekela, Jonathan Butler, and more. How do those collaborations shape the way you approach music now?
Well, basically, I would say that for me, music is an open book, and the best thing that we can be is open-minded and open-hearted, and not to think of music as something that belongs in a box or a cupboard or any corner of the world. I think it belongs everywhere in the world, and we don't. However you feel music, whatever kind of music that you feel, it's good music.
So, you play many instruments, steel pan, harp guitar, and Paraguayan harp. So you've come into studio with a very, very interesting looking instrument. It looks like a guitar with a very thick head. And is it 12 strings on it? But what do you call this?
It's a 10-string harp guitar.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us where you got this from, and now you're going to play us a little snippet.
Yeah, so I walked in. I knew about a 10-string harp guitar. There's only about 5 in South Africa. And there was a guy called Dave Hewitt, who was a classical guitarist when I was growing up. He played a 10-string guitar. And he also composed music that was African-inspired. And I was very excited by his music, and then one day I walked into a music shop and I saw this thing hanging on the wall, and I went up to the guy and I said, jeepers, what would it take? and it was quite reasonably priced. I think the owner was deceased, and his wife had hung on to it for a couple of years and then decided that she had no use for it. So sold something and in order to get the guitar.
So what key is it set in?
So the top six strings here are like a normal guitar.
And those extra bass strings?
And then... So it's basically similar to... it's kind of like a bass guitar mixed with a... with an acoustic guitar. And then I've got these capos here that you can move up and down so you can change the bass strings for different songs.
Fantastic. Well, come on then. Let's hear a little tune. Magnificent. What do you call that piece?
That's called Running with the Wind, and we're going to be playing that song at the Alma Cafe this coming Sunday, all the way down the road in Rosebank, for those of you who don't know where it is, just off Liesbeck Parkway, and many, many other tunes. It's not just solo acoustic performances. Bongani's going to be playing vibraphone and marimba, and Skulk's playing bass, and so it's... it really is a whole orchestra.
So the Alma Cafe musicians. Is such a legendary, cozy space. Part concert, part dinner party. What makes performing there so special for you?
Well, it's very intimate. There's only about 50 tickets. It's really up close and personal. And for me, that's the best kind of music in the world. As much as I enjoy performing, you know, with Jonathan Butler at Artscape and there's 1,500 people in the audience and stuff, but honestly, as a musician, there's bright lights shining in your face. You can't see anything. You don't know what's happening. You're really just throwing it into a black hole. And it's very exciting, you know, to feel the energy. But there's nothing like seeing people's faces and looking them in the eye and just seeing what the music
does to them, how it evokes emotion for them.
Because, you know, I don't really play music for myself. I play music for people. And so I really, that connection is just magic.
It's almost not like you want to play music. It feels like you're compelled to play it.
Yeah, and then you get to hang out with people afterwards and have a drink with them and learn all about their interesting lives. And it's music is about connection. It brings people together, all different kinds of people. I meet old people and young people and some guy with one leg and, you know, life is fascinating when there's music around. And it's, Alma Cafe is just the best place to play music.
So where do we get tickets and how much?
Quicket.co.za, and the tickets are $220.
And what is it called that we go to search for?
You can search for Dave Reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S. You could search Dave and Bongani. If you can spell Swachanunda, you can try that. Or you can search Dave and Skulk, or you can search Alma Cafe and Dave, or like any of the artists or the word Alma Cafe, it'll pop up.
Fantastic. And lastly, where can people follow you on social media?
Best is Facebook and Instagram, DaveMan_Reynolds.
Oh, fantastic. We are looking forward to hearing you on the evening. Don't you want to lead us out with a little tune still?
Okay, let me finish up here.
well done. From 15th November this year to January 26th of next year, the old jail complex, once a site of confinement and silence, will be completely transformed into a space of reflection, resistance and renewal through a powerful contemporary art exhibition titled Who Am I? Echoes Within. Hosted by Anami Art Gallery in collaboration with the Swellendam Music Society, this exhibition gathers a remarkable group of South African artists working across painting, sculpture, ceramics, textiles and installation. Joining us today is Alice Mufundisi, curator and owner of Anami Art Gallery. Alice, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Alice, this exhibition carries a deeply resonant title, Who Am I? Echoes Within. Can you tell us where this idea began and why you hope audiences will feel something when they step into this transformed space?
The Who Am I theme, Echoes Within, comes from a personal and universal place. It is that quiet question we all carry about who we are and how our stories shape us. And as a curator, I wanted to create a space where artists and audience alike could explore their inner voices, memories, and ancestral echoes that continue to live within us.
Oh, fantastic. So the old goal complex in Swellendam has such a charged, layered history. What drew you to curate this exhibition in that particular location?
The Anami Art Gallery, my gallery, is situated at the old jail. It is not old goal. It's old jail, spelled in the old British way, G-A-O-L.
Okay.
And it's in the old horse stables. Initially, when I thought about the exhibition, I did not have a theme until I contacted Swoondaba to approach them to ask if they would be interested in choreographing performance according to the theme. And then Paula Kelly, who's the operations director, asked me, what is the theme? At that moment, I didn't know. And walking towards my art gallery halfway, I looked to my left and I saw the space, which is the only existing prison cell where women used to be locked up in for 3 months for being disobedient. And I thought of myself standing in the courtyard, who am I and how do I feel when I'm in that space?
So you've brought together artists from across South Africa working in painting, sculpture, ceramics and mixed media. How do you select this group and what kinds of conversations are happening between their works?
At first, I had a list of artists that I wanted to exhibit, but I had no reply. And then I have put out a call to artists to apply. And the first one that actually responded was Umpo Mkadimeng. He is from Johannesburg. And what I loved about Mpo's work, his work explores the complexities of counterculture and the influence of multicultural narratives on personal identity. So in his work, he draws deeply from family history, translating inherited values into visual form. And the second one was Yaku Sibarahan from Onrus. He made a small sculpture called Walking Tall from steel. And it's called Walking Tall. Now, the sculpture suggests assertion, confidence, standing upright in a visual metaphor of owning one's identity. And he actually wrote a poem for that specific sculpture.
Okay. So now the opening event sounds incredible, with live dance and music intertwined with like visual works. How do those performances expand or deepen the exhibition's message? And when is the opening event going to take place?
The event is on Saturday, on the 15th of November, at the Old Jail Complex of the Droste Museum, starting at 3. So 3:30, I'll be doing the welcoming, and 3:45, Spoondaba Dance Academy will be the opening act with the performance that they choreographed according to the theme. After their performance will be the art reveal of all the artworks, and some of the artworks will actually be displayed in the prison cell. And we will then be closing off the day with Hilton Schilder and Mark Fransman on Soulful Jazz.
Oh, fantastic. And is there any...
Tickets are available at the door, or you can contact the music Swellendam Music Society, of which I am in collaboration with.
And you just go to their website?
On the social media pages, whether it's Anami's Instagram or Facebook page of the Swellendam Society, Music Society as well, is a contact number and an email address.
Oh, fantastic. Now, finally, Alice, for anyone planning a summer trip through Swellendam, tell us why they should make time to experience this amazing exhibition.
Swellendam is a beautiful town. It's layered in history, and we have the Marloth Nature Reserve, we have Bontebok Park. There is so much to do, and you pack your bags, get away from the city, and just come and breathe in some fresh air from the countryside and spend your weekend on a relaxed way. And we have lots of B&Bs and very good restaurants as well. It's a trip worthwhile to make from Cape Town.
Thank you so much, Alice. It's been great chatting to you.
Thank you.
FMR 101.3 FM.
This November, the spotlight once again turns to Strauss & Co., South Africa's premier auction house, known for its meticulous curation. Strauss & Co. continues to set the standard for fine art, design, wine, and jewellery auctions. Taking place on Monday and Tuesday, the 17th and 18th of November 2025, the sales combine innovation and tradition, offering collectors the excitement of live bidding from anywhere in the world. Joining us today is Dr. Alistair Meredith. Alistair, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, Alistair, the November flagship sales have become a major event on the art calendar. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yes, well, I suppose our November sales in Johannesburg have always been seen as one of the biggest sales of the year. This year is no different. We have multiple sales running over a few days starting next week. They include an incredible range of, in this case, South African pictures and sculptures. These are works that cover probably about 120 odd years of art making in the country. The earliest work on the sale was conceived in 1902. That's The Bushman Hunter by Anton van Vogt. And then we also have more contemporary work produced in the last year or two. So an amazing cross-section of South African art split across a number of different auctions next week.
Fantastic. So Strauss & Co.'s hybrid auction model, blending live streamed sales with online participation, how does that work?
Yes, so we have a number of different platforms. Ultimately, the main sales on Monday evening and Tuesday evening next week will be virtual live sales, as we call them. There'll be an auctioneer in the rostrum selling the works live, but you'll be able to follow the auctions in real time via sort of video stream through our website. Also, people will be able to bid online in real time from anywhere in the world. So yes, I suppose we give people different options. People have different methods when it comes to bidding on auction. Some people like to bid on the telephone, and of course we offer that service. Some people like to be in the room and get a sense of the energy and bid in person. Other people like to leave absentee bids or commission bids. And then others, certainly in the last few years, prefer bidding from their phone or from their computer.
So how do we join the bidding or see it live? What is the website we need to go to?
Well, you just go to our website, which is straussart.co.za. you'll obviously need to tune in just before the auction begins. There's always a big green button on our website saying sort of watch now. That's all you need to do if you'd like to just follow along. If you're interested in actually bidding on something, you would need to register to bid. And that's, again, yes, very simple. If you go to our website, there are a number of buttons which allow you to click to register to bid. But yes, otherwise, just join our website on the evenings.
Now to get to the exciting part. So let's talk about William Kentridge, who's, of course, one of the giants of contemporary art. Tell us a bit about the Kentridge drawings featured in the sale and some of the other highlights.
Yes, I mean, he is a giant. You know, he's a household name in the art world. And he's an incredible genius artist, and we're so lucky to have him working in South Africa. We have 15 drawings by William Kentridge that make up a standalone auction on Monday night. They are remarkable and perhaps at first glance unusual works by William. They were commissioned by what was Mobil, now Engine, for their corporate collection in the mid-1980s, in fact, 1985. And they asked William to produce 15 wildlife drawings, which he did. These are large format drawings. They include, you know, warthogs, cheetahs, lion, cranes, a whole host of South African wildlife images.
When you say large format, how big are we talking here?
So each sheet is about sort of 110. So just over a meter high. They're all the exact same format, although the actual drawn section of each sheet is very different. You know, some of them have sort of smaller drawings on the sheet and other works sort of fill the sheet more completely. They, as I said earlier, they might at first glance seem atypical from William's career, but if you know William's work from the mid-1980s, they fit perfectly into what he was producing at the time. You know, in the mid-1980s, a lot of his work was perhaps lampooning the white middle classes in South Africa by showing them in these elaborate ballroom settings with sort of all the trappings and luxuries of middle class life. And of course, the undercurrent of that was the realities of what was going on in South Africa.
Yes.
And in a lot of those important drawings, he includes animals. In the conservationist ball, for instance, which is one of his most important works from 1985, which is at the Rupert Museum, that recently went on show in London, you'll see one of the women sitting next to a cheetah. You'll also notice in drawings from this time a lot of scavengers moving through these spaces. So you have hyenas and bat-eared foxes and warthogs sort of scuttling through amongst the feet and under the tables. So whilst these drawings, as I say, might feel atypical, they fit very perfectly into William's mid-1980s work, which was very obviously political.
So could you share one or two works or artists in the lineup that you find particularly exciting or historically significant?
Well, I could go through almost the whole sale, but a few major highlights to pull out. We have a remarkable painting by Gerard Sokoto in the Tuesday evening sale. Now, you know, Sokoto has been in the news recently. His self-portrait went on show at the Venice Biennale last year. Then went straight to a major show called Paris Noir at the Centre Pompidou in Paris.
So just lastly, to end off, just tell us the dates again that this is taking place.
Yes, so the sales are on Monday the 17th, Tuesday the 18th, and also on the 19th. Everything is hanging in our galleries in Johannesburg, so we always hope that as many people as possible come to have a look. It's free. It's open to the public. It's the best cross-section of South African art I think you'll see anywhere in the world over the next week. Otherwise, you can see all our e-catalogues on our website, which is strassart.co.za.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely chatting to you, Alistair.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Now, welcome back to FMR Cape Diary. Let's do a roundup of what we talked about today. Firstly, a choral pilgrimage with Vox on St. Cecilia's Day and also Benjamin Britten's birthday will take place on the 22nd of November at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. Join the group as they go to different locations to hear the same piece performed with different acoustics, and we chatted to John Woodland about that. Then we chatted to Dave Reynolds about Indigenous Orchestra featuring himself and Skalk Burger and Bongani Shoshonda, and that will be at the Alma Cafe on the 16th of November. Then we chatted to Alice Mfundisi about the art gallery opening hosted by Anami Art Gallery in collaboration with the Swellendam Music Society, which will take place at the 15th of November at the Old Jail Complex in the Drosty Museum in Swellendam. And lastly, we chatted to Dr. Alistair Meredith about the Strauss & Co. November flagship sales, where you can pick yourself up a William Kentridge if you've got some money to burn. And that will take place on the 17th and the 19th of November. All right. Mzu Maketa did a fabulous job as always as studio engineer. Cape Diary will be available as a podcast later today. Visit the FMR website at fmr.co.za/podcasts to have another listen at any of today's interviews. If you would like to showcase your event, please send a full media release to diary@fmr.co.za at least 3 weeks prior to the event. I'm your host, Andre Skirpis. Hope you have a fabulous afternoon. Over and out.